There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's another episode of Is It Just Me? Fresh, brand new, brand spanking new, and I'm going to nick it. I love it so much, what James Williams calls the news night of nonsense.
It's a good one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Joe Elvin. That's the other one.
Yes, I'm talking too early. I'm James, the other one. James Williams, the other host.
And we are very excited today. We are in the presence of pop royalty, radio greatness. She knows what she's doing. She's here to sort us out. We're going to be talking about parents, air kissing, something else with the delightful Molly King.
Hello. Oh, I loved that intro. Thank you.
It was good, right?
Yeah. It was really so good. It was really good.
We told you, really professional, really thought out.
The thing is, though, we, our, you know, the reason is we just don't really care enough about what we do, do we?
No, we're just very, no, we like to make a relaxed experience for our guests.
Totally.
So we feel like if we're really shit.
Also, I didn't think you were rubbish at all. Is that worrying? I genuinely thought that was good.
So we don't care that much.
No, we do. We love our listeners.
We do. But they know. I mean, they know how rubbish we are.
Yeah, exactly. They forgive us for being so rubbish.
They know what they're getting themselves into.
They know what rubbish and nonsense they're signing up for.
But hello to you, Molly King.
Hello.
How the hell are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm really well. I'm so happy to be on the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for doing it. Well, you are basically rocking it right now at Radio 1. You must be so thrilled with how well it's all going.
Thank you. I'm absolutely
breakfast. I got it right.
Yes, you did.
I've been
you
saying
did.
Breakfast weekend, which I think sounds better.
Get it right, Joe.
Yeah. Come
weekend
on,
breakfast.
Joe.
Weekend breakfast.
Get on brand.
Do you know what? I'm so over the moon, and I can't believe that we're being moved to the weekend breakfast. It's just like, oh my God, I started there in June, and it feels like it's just this mad roller coaster that's suddenly hit like 100 miles an hour.
But it has been quite quick, which is obviously a great thing. And you know, it's having the best 3-month review, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone gets their 3-month performance review, and yours clearly went really well. You've been promoted already.
Thank you. No, I am absolutely delighted, and I'm still like, it's still sinking in that we're going to be doing like Friday's breakfast show and obviously Saturday and Sunday as well. It's a bit hard to get my head around, and I'm so happy that I'm doing it obviously with Matt Edmondson, who I co-host the show with, because he's a lot calmer about it than I am. I'm a bit like, oh my God, this is a massive deal. Are we going to do it justice? Obviously Greg James does the Monday to Thursday. How on earth are we going to carry on like the rest of the week? But he's like, you know, we just got to be ourselves and just get that weekend kick started, really.
Without wishing to pressurize you, Molly, it is kind of, I think the second you hear the words breakfast in radio, it's like prime time in TV, isn't
totally
it? Breakfast radio is like the holy grail.
Thanks for that, James. Make me feel worse.
Yeah. In the words of RuPaul, don't fuck it up.
Yeah. I'll try.
You're doing so well.
The worrying bit is that I'm actually, the amount of times I have slept over an alarm. So my mum, the minute that she heard this news, she was like, right, you need to get literally 5 alarms, put one by the front door so you literally get out of bed the minute you hear it. Because I'm the ultimate snoozer. Do you know what I mean? I'm snoozing it. And I'm a bit worried about getting there on time, guys, if I'm honest.
But I think anxiety will kick in. It's like having an early flight.
That's true. That's
you never sleep the night before an early flight.
You never do.
If I had that job, I probably would never sleep. Because I get so anxious about oversleeping if
yes.
I have to get up.
I mean, are you ready for your body clock to be massively like shook up and rearranged? And...
Oh gosh. Well, we had like we did a demo the other day. So we had to get up at 4 o'clock, which is what we'll start doing. And I had that real anxiety the night before when it was 9 o'clock and I was thinking, okay, I should be asleep here. I should be asleep. And you know, the more that you think that, the more that you're not going to sleep. So I was lying in bed and I was trying to just watch anything on TV that was like really calming, like Friends or something that was feel good. And I was like, don't think about the fact that you should be asleep, just think about anything else. And I was still there at midnight and I texted into like our Radio 1 group and Matt replied, you should be asleep now. And I was thinking, okay, well, if you're still awake, that's fine. We're both going to be exhausted in the morning. But I think the adrenaline actually got us through doing that pilot.
And coffee.
Exactly. Coffee. Hello.
My tip is watch the snooker. You'll be out in seconds.
Exactly. That's it.
Seconds.
Yeah. Something ultimately boring and that will, knock you off.
I would be the same though. I think, and it's so right. The second you know you're supposed to be in bed early is when you're not tired.
Totally. Yeah,
it is weird.
I know. I even tried putting on like that, you know, like when you're at a spa and you've got that music like twinkling in the background.
The chimes.
I was like, I was like, Molly, who are you kidding? This is not helping. Just put Friends on. So, God knows how that will go.
And obviously you and Matt, I mean, how well did you guys know each other before you were, because I have to say it just feels like, I mean, watch your back, Phil and Fern and Ant and Deck, because you both have a really lovely natural chemistry, it feels like, and it feels like you've known each other for years. But
I feel like we've known each other for years. I feel like I've got this brother that I was just never ready to have in my life. We just get on so well and he takes the mickey out of me.
He rips the piss out of you and there's no
all
tomorrow.
The time. All the time. We didn't know each other at all, really. We did a sort of trial thing in February where I was on Radio 1 just for a month and he was meant to have a different person co-hosting with him each month of the year. And we just got on so well. I was like, oh my God, it's weird, I think, when you're older to sort of meet new friends that you're like, how have you not been in my life already? He just completely, the minute that we sort of started the show, he just completely laid into me and took the mickey out of me. And now I'm at that point where I'm like, right, I'm going to take you down as well. So we've got that kind of like brother and sister thing where we just say whatever we want to each other, really.
And you can tell it's infectious because you're genuinely having such a laugh.
Yeah,
I think
that's
why it really works.
I love it.
Totally.
Is there an equivalent of love at first sight between friends where you just know you're going to get on with somebody?
Yes.
I love that feeling because some of my friends are a bit cynical. They think, oh, I've made enough friends. I'm 35. Now I don't need to make any more friends. I'm like, what? When do you give up making friends?
Know.
I love going to a new place and that feeling of going, where have you been all my life?
Totally.
I mean, my God, people get sick of me all the time. I constantly need new
you need
friends.
A new supply.
Constantly, yeah.
Have a little refresh,
yeah.
I know. No, it was just really odd how we got on because in some ways we're complete opposites, but in our actual dorky habits, we are so similar. Like he has these board game nights that he does every couple of weeks.
This cracks
and
me up.
And I was like, oh my God, please invite me. Well, he actually creates his own board games. He's a real nerd and he loves it. So he has his own board games and then we'll just play any kind of board game. He'll be like,
it's
right.
It's the most analogue thing I've ever heard.
I know. But the bit that really made me laugh is, you didn't even make the invite list, the first cut of the invite list.
I know. He was like, we've got a one in, one out process. I was like, I'm co-hosting the show with you, dude. Let me in. He was like, oh, it's very hard to get into. I've only got 5 seats around the table.
Molly, tell me the truth. Does that room really smell of boys?
It does a bit, yeah.
Are you the only fragrant sort of like...
She's very fragrant,
twinkly,
Molly.
Attractive woman. And then there's like a lot of boys who don't have girlfriends, is my guess.
Making up their own game.
Yeah.
Well, at least Matt's gorgeous wife, Bryony, she was there. So she could bring that sort of girl element to it as well.
You're not sold,
She went out with the girls.
You're just worried you wouldn't make the cut and get invited. That's what's happening here, Joe. I can see right through you.
Come on, Joe. You should come along to one of these nights. Are you competitive? Perfect for it.
But what kind of, is it like, are these board games that require sort of like motor neuron skills or just roll of the dice or
game chance or the actual game of skill?
A bit of both. Of course, the ones that require skill, I'm like, this is a terrible game. And the ones that are chance, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. It's not like cups on Friends, is it? He's making it up as he's going
totally,
along.
Totally, it's exactly like that.
Deal or no deal, not the cube. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
Oh, but my worry, cube is the best.
Yeah, but I couldn't do it. I mean, I wouldn't last 30 seconds.
But the absolute worry is if it's somebody who's, you're there and they've made up the game, they're always going to say, oh, no, the rule is, because they're basically going to change the rules to make themselves win.
Well, even on Radio 1 now, we do this game that's exactly the same as this game that Matt's invented on the side. And I'm like, hold on a minute, you've got a massive advantage here. And he's so quick at it. And I'm just like, I can't even compete here. But my favourite game that we play, which is so basic, which is why I love it, is it's called Initial Reaction. And they just shout out like initials, like, I don't know, RW, and you've got to come up with a celebrity.
Robbie Williams.
I've played
this
game.
Well done. Well done. James, you should come along to the show.
One of our mutual friends, I don't know if you know him, but I know Simon who's here, and James. Ian McLeish came up with that years ago. That's what we used to play on long train trips.
Oh, my God, we're late to the party.
There's a lawsuit coming your way.
Yeah, there is, I know. Oh, my God. It's Matt's idea.
You'll be hearing from Ian's lawyers.
Yeah. So when is the first official show?
The first official show is Friday the 15th. So it's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, so yes.
That's exciting.
Listen out, everyone.
So I'm literally like trying to get as much sleep as possible. I'm planning a big night out this Saturday because I'm like, this is the last big night out. I know. So I'm rounding up the girls and I'm like, right, girls, we're going in. We're going out here because God knows when I can next do this.
Well, speaking of big nights out,
I'll alert the authorities now.
Lock up your husbands, your daughters, your dogs. No one is safe. Yeah. But I have to ask, obviously in the audience at Strictly this weekend.
Yes.
Obviously very jealous and love a bit of Strictly. But can you believe it's been a year already since you were on that show?
I'm completely in denial. I literally, when they were like, welcome our Strictly stars, I was like, because I went with Ruth, who was on last year as well. And we just so wanted to get up there and just like have a wave and stand next to our partner. Because it is that horrible feeling when you see your dance partner with somebody else. You really feel like it's like an ex.
Yeah.
It is. It's like, oh, we'll just waltz her around in front of me. It's fine. I'll just sit here. But no, it was so good being back there. Yeah. I just can't believe that it's been a year already.
Do you get that sick feeling or do you now actually want to do it again?
it's a mixture. Every time that Tess and Claudia go, welcome your Strictly stars, I get that butterfly in my tummy of just like, oh my God, I'm going to do the dance. And I don't think that will ever go.
It's post-traumatic Strictly disorder.
Strictly disorder.
Totally. But when you see them out there and they do it really well, you think, God, I'd love to be out there and doing a good dance. I mean, there were only a few that I managed to get like good eights for. Most of mine, I was sort of sixes. The standard this year is so high that I'm thinking, thank God I'm not in this. Everyone's so good.
I feel like every year it gets bigger.
It gets better.
All but those shows are like that. Apparently, like, you know, people who even 2 years ago wouldn't make it through to the first round on MasterChef.
And Bake Off. Bake Off's very hard to get. I've known a few people trying to audition for Bake Off. They're amazing bakers and they can't get on for love nor money.
I know. No, it's ridiculous. The standards of all of these, they do just get higher. And especially with Strictly, I keep seeing like Faye and Ashley and I'm thinking, thank God I'm not there.
Oh, come on.
No, honestly, they are just so graceful. And that's one thing that I don't have. I've got no grace out there. I'm like stomping around like an elephant trying to like finish my lines and all that. And I'm like,
but
God.
I've got to ask, you know, as a musician, I mean, where do you stand on the clapping, Molly? Because I adore Strictly. I'm the biggest Strictly fan ever. I adore it. I've watched every year religiously.
Yeah.
But if I could ban the clapping, the audience clapping, it would make for an altogether.
You just mean like in time with the music?
Oh, it just drives me mad because they just encourage you. They wind you up. The warm-up man makes everyone just clap, clap, clap.
Yes.
Like, what? Just let them clap when they want to clap. Let them clap on the beat.
Oh my God. And it's really so off-putting irritating. If you're actually dancing.
Because
the music in there isn't that loud.
No.
And so you suddenly hear this clapping and you're thinking, oh my God, is that
people
the actual...
can't do it in time.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, is that the beat? Is it the beat? And actually, when I was sat there at the in the audience, God, you're clapping the whole night. Yeah. Your palms start hurting a bit.
But that's whenever I haven't...
Strictly
sat,
RSI.
I haven't sat in the Strictly audience, but I've sat in the X Factor audience a few times, and it does feel like quite grueling hard work. Stand up, sit down, keep clapping.
Totally.
I'm exhausted when I leave there.
And if you stop clapping too soon, you look like a bit of a cow. It's like, why is she not clapping for her? You're like, oh my gosh.
I have to stand up, standing ovations all the time.
Yes. Yeah. There was one part I actually took my shoes off to just get comfy, and then it was a standing ovation, and I was like, Molly, put your shoes on, everyone's standing up. You look so rude not standing here. So yeah, I was a bit late to that one.
Oh. Well, don't be late for your very first breakfast show. So that's the 15th of November.
15th,
so tune in, everyone, to Molly and Matt's first breakfast show on Friday the 15th of November. And now, are you ready for the main event now, Molly? Are you ready for some topics, some very serious discussions
to
be had?
Go for it. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do this. All right, then. So first up today, Molly King, Joe Elvin. Is it just me who just doesn't get on board with the double air kissing thing? I mean, you know, I hate to say I work in an industry where the double air kiss... And by now, I'm a veteran of this industry, and I should be so much better at it. But I was actually working an event last Monday, and you know, I guess I did have lots of other things to worry about. But the double air kiss went out my head. I didn't prepare myself, and lo and behold, I did that constantly all night. That embarrassing second hanging kiss in the air, and then I just feel really embarrassed by the whole thing.
So are you worrying because you always go in for it and other people don't, or
no,
do you never go in
I
for
forget
it?
And they go in for it with me, and I've already moved on. Right. So I just feel like I feel like I think the kids say pied them off.
Yeah, you're
I believe
everyone
the young,
off.
The young people are saying
got them on the mouth. Occasion.
Oh my god,
I've done that before. Yes, I know. I feel like I'm snogging everyone. I'm like, oh, they're kissing on the lips. Yeah, I have to say, the minute I walked into you guys today, I loved it that we didn't do the double air kiss because it is a bit like you just don't know if people are going to go in for it. I'm more of a hugger.
Yeah,
I like to. I know this sounds a bit stupid, but I like a real hug. Like, I want to feel your body. I don't want like one of those polite ones.
You're
that's
right.
Like,
calm down, Molly. Yeah.
But you know, it's a weird thing at an event, isn't it? Because you just don't know whether they're going in for it.
The air kiss came from somewhere hygienic, didn't it?
I just did it.
I'm
just tense about it in all forms. It's single, double. I've been at the mercy of a triple.
Well, that's very Italian, isn't it? Italians, don't they kiss three times?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's when I've been to Milan.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Fashion and Milan. I mean, come on, they're kissing all the time.
Yeah.
It's weird, I think, because I think it's all about how you approach the person, right? So I think, because I like a hug, I think you've got to sort of walk in there with a bit of force and just go straight in for
just
that hug.
Grab him. Donald Trump style. Just,
exactly. Otherwise, it's a bit like you're just sort of lingering, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I think the way to tell if they're going to go in for an air kiss, this is what I think, is they tend to grab you on both the shoulders, which means like, don't come too close. There's got to be space in between our bodies here, and I'm just going to do the air kiss. Yeah.
And they're like, they're physically lining you up for it.
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
But I mean, I guess my thing is, I in a weird way, I find the double air kiss, if I know you well, I'm with you, I will just do a hug.
Yeah.
So I guess it's when people I know quite well try to double air kiss me.
You're like, who are you?
I'm like, and I always forget. And I always feel like an idiot. Or I just always feel like, oh, it's my first time at the rodeo and I've really shown myself up.
Yeah, totally.
I just feel like it's this thing I've now been sort of trained to do, and I don't know where it came from. I commissioned a piece in the magazine I had at U Magazine. And we talked about when I first got to this country, it was not a thing. Mm. It was not. And suddenly it's kind of become part of the way we interact.
It's like proms.
Yeah.
Proms weren't a big thing. Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, proms didn't happen. Now they're everywhere. Yes, everyone has a prom.
Halloween.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, Halloween. Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
The double air kiss is everywhere.
Oh, but I think let's send it packing back off to Brexit when we went to Europe when we depart.
But without sounding like too up our own bottoms, do you think it is a media London affectation, or do you think it happens outside? I mean, I'd love to hear
question.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I feel like it's I do think it is like a media thing, but when I do it, I feel like I'm almost like playing a part. Like I'm trying to look like show busy, or like I think that I'm really cool, and it's like, oh god, that's just so not me. I just want a nice hug.
I think it's just become the thing that's deemed manners.
Well, I think
I don't really like it.
No.
Yes.
But I think it is steeped in an element of hygiene and practicality. My rationale is, I assumed it's, you know, obviously if you're not touching people, you're not going to catch their germs.
Yeah.
And second of all, I hate to say it, but I thought women in particular wouldn't want their makeup disturbed.
Sure.
So the double air kiss comes in handy when you've just had, you know, you did hair and makeup for hours. But you don't want it all being ruined.
But some people do kiss Like some people do. I had the experience of once being sort of like double, very wet kissed.
And it actually went onto the cheek.
Near, like almost lip, Molly, almost crevice. Oh,
no.
And then after the air, like proper slobbery kiss, said, oh God, I tell you what, I've got such a terrible cold at the moment. My mouth is full of ulcers.
Oh God. Oh God.
I just wanted to burn my face off.
Oh, that's awful. There's nothing worse than, you know, a kiss on the cheek that's like, you can feel the wetness.
Yes. Gross.
You're like, oh, keep that off me. Like there's nothing good about a wet kiss.
Well, because the idea is that you should basically be more or less brushing cheek, shouldn't
yes,
you?
That's exactly.
That's what a true air kiss is.
Yes, totally.
And then some people think that's really sort of false, and it is false.
It is false.
Yeah. It is, totally. It's very wanky.
It is.
If there are any etiquette experts listening, please tell us what the right thing to do is, and we will disseminate that information.
And for those non-wanker listeners out there, please do email us and remind us that it's just you wankers in media that do it, and it doesn't happen up north or in Wales or in Scotland.
I'm sure I've done a double air kiss in Mansfield.
You don't discriminate. You do it everywhere.
No, but they've done it to me, the Mansfieldians. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've all got those awkward aunts of me. Insist on kissing you on the lips, right? I think they're the same people. I think the media people that really go in for a double air kiss are, if they were a doddery aunt, they'd be the ones going in for your lips.
James, oh God, see, I can't stand that either.
You and I know a photographer who used to do that all the time.
Mm. Oh, go straight in for a smack on the lips.
Yeah.
Too literally, far.
You'd be trying to push your head any which way, and he'd always get you. You'd be like,
it's not.
It would always land. Somehow it would always land.
And it genuinely wasn't some sort of pervy Me Too thing.
No.
It was just that person's way of
saying hello. That is way too far. I find kissing really like an intimate thing. And even just on the lips, I'm like, oh, too much.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know. I might have just had eggs. Mightn't be nice at all.
I wouldn't put it past you. Anyway, please do email us. We love hearing from you guys. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. So send us all your thoughts on today's topics, today's show, and any future topics and guests you'd like to see.
So guys, is it just me, or do you also love a straight talking parent?
Well, I don't mind a straight talking parent because my straight talking parents are 12,000 miles away, so I can just sort of like put the phone down and, you know,
do you do the classic, oh, I'm losing signal, gotta go.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I think it's that thing, isn't it? I love other people's straight talking parents.
Yeah,
I don't like my parents straight talking at me. Like when we had Paloma Faith on the podcast not that long ago, I mean, her mum, was it Pam? I think Pam or Pamela. And she just sounds amazing because she basically, she gives no fucks and takes no fools. Like and she just literally
she's not
tells
very impressed
it
with Paloma.
she literally would say things, that wasn't working for you, what did that hairdo? Yeah. You know what I mean? And obviously to us, that's hilarious. But also I think Paloma loves it too. But I think you do, it's all about having somebody an influence in your life that means you don't ever, you know, disappear up your own bottom and start air kissing the world.
So my mum and dad are so straight talking. Like mum's more down the sort of, if it's a boyfriend that she doesn't like, she'll tell me, or if she doesn't like the outfit or thinks that like maybe my hair and makeup was a bit dodgy, she will say it. Whereas dad's more like, talks more about like work. Like when I got the Radio 1 job, he was like, oh, finally a proper job. I was like, oh, thanks dad, what do you think I've been doing for the last 10 years? But I think like...
Can I just say, Molly, that's only because it's the BBC. You do know that, right?
That's it, exactly.
Parents just see, oh, my daughter works at the BBC. Oh, she's fine.
Totally. She'll have a pension now, thank God.
Exactly, that's all he's worried about.
25 days holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Booper benefits.
That's all he wants. That's all he wants. I've never seen him look so happy. He actually cried. Oh. And for my dad, he's a northern man. He's sort of, you know, he's not an emotional guy, but he was so happy about that. But
oh, that's brilliant though.
Yeah, that I felt really proud. Yeah. But I could see how proud he was. Yeah. But mum in particular, oh, she's straight to the point. Like she's no beating around the bush. She'll be like, oh, I wasn't sure about that mole last night, or I wasn't sure about that. But actually, it's good because then I know that I can call her and say, right, what's your honest opinion here? Or what do you think of him? Do you think he's good for me? Because sometimes, you know, your friends, your closest friends obviously are going to say it straight as well. But I know that mum has 100% got my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
And she is going to say it straight. And that's, I just think we need that, don't we?
We do. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is, I mean, you know, I love my parents and I think most people's parents are the same. They are very honest. They can't help but be that way with you. But I think, you know, we've all got as well straight talking friends. And the difference is I think a straight talking friend will pretty much be honest with you, but they will sometimes try and sugarcoat it, or maybe choose their moment better. The problem with your parents is they just don't give a shit.
No.
So you could be telling them something and they will just go, well, that's your own fault for doing it that way, isn't
totally.
It? And you're just a bit, I know that. There's no need to be so fucking horrible about it. You know what I mean? They just have this way of finding your Achilles heel.
Yeah.
So you could have said, oh, you know, what did you think of that outfit last night? And they're, oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I'm saying is I do love them, but yeah, why do they just have a way of winding you up like nobody else?
See, I love my parents, but I don't know. I just think that they're a bit more passive aggressive than your two parents sound like. You know, my parents will, there'll be lots of like looking at each other across over something that you've said without, and just exchanging a look or.
Okay.
You know, I'll say, no, especially when my daughter was very, very young. Oh, no, when she'll have enough chocolate when she's a toddler. I'm not sort of giving her chocolate until she sort of asked for it, and I'd come back into the room and find a chocolate cut up on a high chair. You know, like stuff like that. So yes. So that's the way they would never, they're actually not very good at confronting me at all. But if they disagree with something, the actions show you that they do.
The beauty of mums on Facebook has taken that to a whole new level for me now. Because now I get things like, Andrew's very good to his mother, isn't she? She's always out with him.
God.
That's what I now get. Because obviously, the problem is they're now friends with each other on Facebook. So they see, they're very close, aren't they? Always taking her for dinners and for nice days out. I'm going, I do know what you're saying. I am getting that very thinly veiled dig.
Oh, totally. What is it with parents being addicted to Facebook?
Oh.
Like, my mum's like, oh, did you see that post I put up yesterday? I'm like, no, mum, because you know I'm not on Facebook. And she's like, oh, well, just log in somehow and look at it. I'm like, mum, we're on the phone now. Just tell me what you wrote. She's like, oh, no, but you've got to see the post. I'm like, oh, mum, get off Facebook. She just loves it.
They narrate you through it like you haven't seen it yourself. So that's the other thing is going, oh, yeah. And I said, yes, I know. I saw the post. They'll talk to everything. I'm going,
oh, totally.
Can we talk about something that wasn't on Facebook that I've already seen?
Oh, they love it. They absolutely love it.
But yeah, you, I do love though when you, especially talking about new friends that we were talking about earlier, when you meet a sort of newish friend's parents for the first time. I love that too, because I just love seeing how it is. I hate to say it, the apples never fall far from the tree.
Yes.
And you do, I just love seeing the parents and seeing, oh, this now explains
why
you are
like
the way
this.
You're the way
yes.
you are. You
totally
know?
It's like meeting like your partner's parents as well. I think like for me, I'm always like, oh, okay, this is quite a big deal, like you've got to be on side of the parents and stuff, but you learn so much more about your boyfriend when you meet their parents, don't you?
Yeah. And the way they interact with their parents as well,
yes.
I think says a lot.
Yeah. Totally.
But there's nothing funny as well than, you know, just getting that opportunity to get all the dirt about somebody through their parents, because they will, again, not sugarcoat it. They'll tell you all the embarrassing stories.
Yes they're the ones that are going to tell you everything, aren't they? Everything you need to know. You're like, come on,
or
come on, tell me.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Been married a very long time.
I know.
I know where all the bodies are buried. So, yeah.
Well, the good thing about mine is my parents, whenever people meet my parents, they go, oh my God, you're actually quite quiet. It's like they make me look actually quite subdued and like,
really?
I haven't got much to say for myself. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh my
they
God.
Need their own
are they
podcast.
Both really chatty?
Oh my God, yeah. The hind legs of a donkey. Like, yeah. I mean, my friend was one of the original producers on Gogglebox, and she wanted my family to do it. And at the time we said no. And now they're all kicking themselves.
Oh my God.
Because my dad is the person who will just sit there and just talk about everything. Like, you know, he gets very irate about really weird things. He gets very irate about newsreaders.
Friends with a celebrity.
Oh,
oh my God.
Yeah. No, I know. But he gets really irate about it. Go, oh, that's far too much lip gloss for this time in the morning. Like if a newsreader's got too much lip gloss. Or he went into one once about Carol wearing far too many different dresses. Carol the weatherwoman. He got very upright. She's got that dress in every colour. I'm going, why does it matter to you so much?
That's what my mum notices. My mum notices things like if she's watching like Coronation Street, she'll be like, oh, she's had her highlights done between this and the last scene. I'm like, mum, nobody else is thinking this. She's like, oh, she's had a different hairstyle.
No, I do that. And I must admit, I do with newsreaders, particularly if they're saying, telling you some really terrible piece of news. I'm thinking, I'm not sure those earrings are what you want to be sort of like going onto the telly with to deliver that terrible news. And I know that I'm not supposed to be distracted by your earrings, but I am.
Yeah.
I am now.
Oh, you
so,
can't
yeah.
help it, can you?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Do you think what you'd be like? I mean, are you a straight-talking parent yourself, Jo?
Yes, I am on some subjects. I think when you've got a teenage girl, it's quite difficult. And, you know, the way the world is, you never know what you should and shouldn't say about what people are wearing, or you know, what they're putting on their face, or what they're sort of like, how they're interacting with their friends. So I just try to be the person who listens rather than talks.
Yeah.
I try.
No, true.
Yeah.
Probably fail a lot, but yeah.
Well, I have to, I was out for dinner with some old friends the other night, and it was actually great because we, I don't know how it came about, but we were just talking about, you know, their kids and their young daughters. And they just said, one of their daughters turned and said something about, oh, that's right, the woman next door to them was having a home birth.
Okay.
So she was giving, and I think the little girl went, oh my God, is that baby coming out of her vagina? And I went, oh my God, does your daughter say vagina? And she was like, yes, because that's what it's called. And I was like, oh my God, that's so, cause, yeah, because if you think about it, there's stupid names, you know, Penny, Flower, yes. Secret Private Girls
Play. Oh yeah,
play.
No, I'm yeah. straight talking about all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And I just thought, yeah. that's good. Straight talking parenting at its best.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll end that on vagina then, shall we?
Let's do it. The best way to end any convo. Yeah.
You should always say it every day.
Yes. I'm with you. I think it's great.
Yeah. I pulled out the word the Fangita the other day.
I pulled out my vagina the other day. I thought I was going to say, whoa now, Molly.
Now that's a whole other combo.
You probably shouldn't say vagina on Radio 1, I'm guessing.
Probably not. Yeah. No,
not
probably
breakfast.
Not. No, yeah. not breakfast. Too much for that time.
It's weekend breakfast, yeah. not weekend vagina.
Exactly.
Get it right. Yeah, get it right.
I mean, they relax the rules a little bit at the weekends, but yeah. still, you know. Anyway, sorry, you whipped out your...
I whipped out the word Fangita the other day. And everyone was like, who still calls it that?
I didn't know anyone. I've never heard it before.
No.
Oh, God. Maybe it is just me. No. Sorry, guys.
But most names are ridiculous,
yeah,
aren't
they? Yeah, they are.
Hell's happened on that Saturday's tour bus.
But we had a TARDIS.
Lots of things, guys, yeah.
Whipping
How
out
long
their
have you got?
Whipping out their Fangitas for the sake.
Apparently. I bet that's a good word score in Scrabble.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Is it just me? Is this really boring? And is it just me who would happily... holiday at the same place all the time for the rest of my days? God, I even made myself age 50 years even saying that.
No,
but I'll own it.
Do you know what? I actually feel exactly the same, and it's embarrassing to say it, isn't it? Because you feel like everyone's like, oh, you should go out there and travel and see new things. But sometimes I think it's a bit like when you go out to a restaurant, right? And you think, right, I know I like this meal. Why would I veer off the menu for something else if you know that that is what you like?
High risk.
High risk.
I don't have the time for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to go somewhere that you know that you like it, you know what you're going to get. And I know that sounds a bit granny-ish, but I agree.
The thing is, I've got in my family, my husband's brother and sister have both had recently disastrous holidays. And, you know, like being stuck in a hurricane, disastrous holidays. And if you think you save up all year, you've got that maybe that 2 weeks a year to do something really special. And then that happens.
Yeah.
So,
well, they're not cheap, are they?
No. And I'm not guaranteeing that I will ever be free from natural disasters and hurricanes. But if you know you like something and you know it works.
Yeah. Why veer off it?
I don't know. God. But I do, you know. I have had some exciting times in my life.
Of course you have, Joe. We believe
like
you.
The same we believe place you. Yeah, we believe you.
I just like the same place in Cornwall, all right?
Do you think it's an age thing? As we get older, we like what
no,
we like?
No. I think it makes me very young and dynamic and interesting.
Very hip.
Yeah.
Young and down with the kids, yeah.
Because I do sometimes, I think I know what you're talking about, Molly. You sometimes see those things on social media and then you figure out how much of the world have you seen and you tick all the country. And basically, I've barely seen any of it.
I know.
And I know I'm a terrible person, but I don't feel any shame about not having seen enough of it and feeling I need to see more.
Yeah, but is it really so bad not getting on a plane and dumping loads of CO2 emissions all over the world? You know,
exactly.
I mean, is it really that bad?
I know. No. It is. It's that thing on Instagram, though, where you see people traveling all over the world and you think, God, I would never have thought to go to that place. And I think, God, Mol, you should really be a bit more like wild with your choices.
Let's be honest, neither did they until someone paid them to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's so true. You
know, that's some people's income now.
What are your absolute, in terms of when you're having a holiday, Molly, what does a holiday mean to you?
Well, my thing, right, and I know this sounds a bit cheesy, but it really is about like the company. So my best friend lives in LA, which I know is an amazing place, you know, in itself. But I love going out there if I've got a week or two off and spending time with her. I lived out there with the girls in the band for 4 months, so I know it really well. And I just feel like I know what I'm going to get. I know that I like going down to the beach. I know the restaurants I like. My best friend's out there, so I can't really go wrong. But I know that that sounds so like small-minded, do you know what I mean? And I know that I should be going to more sort of...
I love LA.
Yeah. It's just so lovely, but no,
I actually think that does make sense, because to be honest, for me, I mean, I'm very anti-holidays, as any regular listener of the show will know. I'm not a big fan of holidays. But, you know, I love a staycation. So for me, the idea of being at home and doing nothing is like my dream come true. So really, that's a perfect hybrid, because technically you've gone abroad and you've been a bit exotic.
Yes.
But you basically got familiarity, friends.
That's it, exactly. Like I go
perfect
to her...
home from home.
It really is. So I go out to her house and I've already got stuff that I keep at her house. It's perfect. So she lives with her boyfriend and I'm just the third wheel, which I love, by the way. There is like so much fun in being the third wheel. I just know what I'm gonna get, and like I said, I know that it's boring, but you can't go wrong.
Are you a sun worshiper, Molly? Are you like, cause for me, I feel like my friends are very like, you're either, for them, a holiday has to have sunshine, a pool or a beach. And if it's not, that's not a holiday.
Okay. Well, I love being in the sun, but I can't lie out in it. I went on holiday actually with Frankie a couple of years ago. And
Frankie, who looks at the sun for 5 seconds and gets the best tan in the world ever.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were lying out. It's exactly that, really. We were lying out and I was like, why am I not catching a tan? Why am I not catching a tan? She was like, yeah, me neither. I looked over and I was like, are you joking me? Don't even talk to me about this.
Oh, bloody Frankie.
I know.
But it was funny because at the end of it, she was like, right, I'm never going on holiday with you again. And I was like, why? She was like, you're like going on a holiday with a child. You cannot sit still. I can't lie there in that lounger.
I get so bored.
Hot, uncomfortable, because I don't tan. I burn. So I genuinely get anxious if I'm in like the sun for too long. I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same.
And I don't understand people that can eat in the sun. People that can actually eat.
Or drink.
It's really unpleasant.
I'm literally that child who's doing like a water bomb into the pool, or like, oh, let's go and do some of the water sports, or let's go and see this, let's go and see that. And I get bored quite easily. So I'm wanting to do an activity. I'm always like that loser that signed up for the group activity.
An activity. I'm trying to think what would be my groundhog holiday. Like where would be the place I would go to again and again?
Yeah, go on. Where would you...
Well, I mean, to be honest, I used to have a real... I do love Greece, actually.
You've been to Greece
goes
a lot.
Against everything I say about hot holidays. But to be honest, I think the nature of being freelance is I don't feel the call of a holiday as much.
I mean,
mosquito factor is a big factor for me. Anywhere with a mosquito, I can't go now. Yeah. I've realised it makes me too miserable.
I think that's the weirdest sentence I've ever heard. The mosquito factor is a big factor for me.
It's a very, very defining factor for me, I'm afraid. Because honestly, because that's the problem with it. They do discriminate. So they either love you or they don't bother you.
I know.
And if they love you, people that don't get bothered by it don't understand how awful it is.
Totally. And do they love you?
Yeah, absolutely. I get eaten alive.
Yeah, no, my daughter really gets it, actually.
And it actually, I mean, the last time I went to Bali this time last year, and it actually ruined, for me now, it's actually clouded how I feel about Bali.
Yeah.
Because I had such terrible mozzie bites from that whole
trip. Oh, and you can do everything, can't you? You can do like the sprays,
doesn't
the plugins.
Work.
But
does
if they
work.
Like you, they like you and they're coming for you.
There's nothing you can do about it. So to be honest, I quite like a cold holiday.
Oh,
a skiing holiday.
My favourite holiday is our little autumn Cornish break, where it's just full of chips and wine and windy beach walks.
What's
although I'm dirty about my favourite pub, and it still is my favourite pub, but they make stars of all the dogs who go in on their Instagram. And I'm so excited. I put my Bella on. I tagged the pub. Nothing. Not even a like from the pub. Do you know how much money I've spent in that pub?
Well,
what's the girl going to do around here?
I'm feeling really traumatized. But my husband is like laughing his head off at what a loser I am for caring so much about whether or not this pub acknowledges Bella. My dog's presence.
I mean, holidays as well, I think, you know, I just feel like if you have a nice life, you don't need to get away so much.
Yes.
And I hate to say, I find the people who think I'm really weird for not loving holidays tend to be my friends who don't like their jobs, for example, as much.
Sure, yes.
You know, so for them, they work towards the holiday.
And how lucky are we that we can all decide whether we're going on holiday or not?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not everybody gets that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, my problem with holiday is that if I am lying there doing nothing, this is why I need to stay active, but I lie there and I'm thinking about work. Mm. And I'm thinking, Mol, just switch off. Like, this is your time to not think about it. But I find it really hard to just be like, right, I'm going to put that in a box for a week and I'll come back to it. So I am constantly like thinking about it, or even then I'm like scrolling on Instagram, seeing what everyone else is up to, and I'm like, just enjoy what you're doing here at that time.
In the now.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's hard. It is hard.
It's really hard.
But if you like what you like, then like it. Don't feel like you have to. But I'm with you. I think, you know, why would you try and mix things up? Because like you said, you only get a certain amount of holiday and a certain amount of money to spend on a holiday. So in a way, Joe, I think your rationale of why would you gamble with that?
Yeah.
You
know? Thanks, James.
You know.
Thanks for making me feel better about my utter predictable squareness.
Same time next year.
Yeah. It will be. I think we have already actually looked into booking the place.
Amazing.
I hate to say these words, Joe, because it's going to make us sound even more pensioner. Have you thought of a timeshare? I think you might want to invest in a place, because
we even go to the same house. I think we've practically bought this house.
I was
going to
say, it's money down the drain.
Like
now.
Like an Airbnb.
Come on.
It's just a cottage rental. Yeah.
You need to just get in with both feet now, Joe, and just buy a little place down there. Why not?
Yeah.
That's the bolt hole.
Sort of like open a crab shack and be done with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It can't go wrong.
Yeah. I could just sell, I don't know, cockles and whelks or something.
And other filth.
Yeah. Yeah. No Fangitas.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Molly, for bringing Fangitas to the podcast.
Yeah. Anytime, guys. Anytime.
And everything else.
thank you, guys.
It's been absolutely lovely to see you.
And you.
Thanks for taking time out to come and see us. And as we said, do check out Molly and Matt's new breakfast show on Radio 1 on the 15th of November.
Yes.
But lots more lols and probably a lot less vagina talk, sadly. Oh,
unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
But thanks, Molly. Good luck with it all. And
come back and see
us again soon.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.